Haskell, St. Helena, California, October 31st, 1901. First part missing. The time has come that the dark cities in America, like New York City and southern cities, New Orleans, St. Louis, Memphis, and these places, shall be worked. There are souls to save in these places and interests to be created. I am deeply moved. I am talking these things in the night seasons to congregations. You need not encourage men like E. Frankie to absorb in his work. Because of his extravagant ideas and practices, treble what other workers would use. That money that he drains from the committee would support a whole mission of organized workers, and you would have something that would remain. God would have his children work after his order, and not place a large amount of money in high halls and spread themselves like a Green Bay tree. Let them be counting the cost of the tower which they have begun to build, and consider whether they be able to carry it up to the top, complete, crying grace, grace unto it. What we need is not a flash, but a steady, bright, shining light. All places cannot be worked alike, but every place needs to be carefully studied, and the work begun in so humble a way that the workers can be recognized as workers together with Jesus Christ, and not after the Herod display. I have my message from God to bear against all extravagance and all superfluity, a message for all workers who carry the last message of warning to the world. In every movement, the cost is to be considered. Christ's manner of working was not in the heights and glory of the heavens. He worked on earth, in the way he expects his followers to work, doing house-to-house labor, healing, restoring, and saving souls ready to perish. God's servants are not to make themselves idols to be petted and worshipped and adorned, to dash out in extravagant habits, surrounding themselves with every extravagance they choose. If this is the way for one man to work to have success, why is it not the way for other men, beloved of God, who have and are doing a large work, who see so much need of means that they plan the tower and count the cost of their large anticipations before they begin its building? If they have begun in a way of show and outlay and spread, they find that it takes money. The Lord would have every worker to consider his way of work. Shall I be able to complete the tower? Or shall I be a laughingstock to those who would be glad to ridicule the work begun, but in such a style of extravagance it could not be finished? All who take hold of the work for this time should walk and work as did the majesty of heaven. Learn of me, he says, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Matthew 11, verse 29. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, and take up his cross, and follow me. Matthew 16, verse 24. Those who claim to be the sent of God should not suppose they can have every indulgence that money can obtain, with the supposition that it gives them influence. How many workers could be kept in the field, and how long if they adopted this plan? The Lord's work must move forward in many places in America, and no one worker is to be an exception, to be lauded, to be furnished means from the conference to do a work that will absorb large means, and yet his present and after influence is not an example. This could follow. It is getting to be daylight, and I can read letters soon. It is 5 minutes after 6 o'clock. I have now read your letters and Brother Brorson's letters, and I see no reason to change my mind in these matters. I want you to consider that there are a number of competent, strong men to officiate at Berrien Springs. Would you feel it is just and right to take one man who can be an acceptable helper away from New York City to make a full complement in your college at Berrien Springs? With all the experienced men already there, to take the last man from Elder Haskell to swell your number at Berrien? As far as the necessities and the importance of the two situations are concerned, it would be a great mistake if Brother Brorson were taken from New York. And I wish to say, the conference has made a big mistake which it will regret unless God shall work a miracle. I see no reason for making the movement they have made. Then, too, knowing as I do the things concerning Elder Frankie and wife and children, they could not have done a more unwise thing than they have done in holding on to many of his peculiar ideas of making a great show and expending large means to do the work, which is giving an example to other ministers to do the same. Be careful, brethren, how you make such moves in regard to such flashing stars as Elder Frankie. St. Helena, California, November 1, 1901. Dear Brother Haskell, I will now finish the letter I could not complete yesterday. I supposed that Elder Frankie was to start meetings close by your hired hall, but a few blocks away in New York City may mean a much larger way off than in places that are not so thickly populated, and his meetings in the larger hall Sunday nights ought not break up your meetings. Of course, that evening would be the very best opportunity to reach the people. Now, if another hall could be secured in some other part of the city, better meetings might be carried on and not necessarily interfere with the others. But there is need of your talking together over this matter. When I telegraphed, I meant to let Elder Frankie go somewhere else rather than so near, when Sunday night is a favorable time to get a hearing. This is the reason for my telegraphing. I wish now I had not, for I had no time to consider the matter, and I knew not that all preparations were made by Elder Frankie to have meetings. If I had known, I could not have telegraphed as I did, which must have caused confusion and perplexity that need not have been.